The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So it is Pentecost. It is one of the great feasts of the church, and it's one of the nice ones because right up there with Easter and Christmas, it's really one of the big ones, but even better perhaps is it's the one that hasn't been overtaken by commercialism, so we're not inundated with sales pitches to buy, I don't know, flames of fire or big fans to make great winds is to celebrate the feast. We don't have to spend a lot of money on this particular great Christian feast. Far more important are the actual reality of what happened on those early days in the life of the church when these disciples experienced this power of Christ in their hearts and their lives in a new way. And St. Luke does such a beautiful job of giving images to that we can't forget it. The flames of fire coming down out of heaven and the great wind sweeping through their lives and the image of them going out and speaking the gospel and everybody understanding them no matter where they came from in the world. It's just a wonderful feast, of course. It feels like one of our feasts. It's like something that we hold on to as particularly Christian. It's sort of like one of our hallmark occasions in the life of the church. What a lot of Christians don't understand is before we had Pentecost, the Jewish people already had Pentecost. It's a feast we inherited from our Jewish forebears. They celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, and we kind of took it over from them. They continue to celebrate it in some way. But anyway, it's really important if we're going to understand Pentecost today to go back and understand how the Jewish people understood Pentecost. And that story begins, as so many Jewish stories does, with the Exodus. We all know the Exodus story, how Moses was raised up by God to liberate his people from the slavery of Egypt. And after all the plagues and getting through the Red Sea, they finally find themselves free from Pharaoh and all of Pharaoh's chariots and charioteers, and they're out in the desert for the first time in centuries, free, free, free at last. It's a wonderful experience until they realize shortly after they get out into that desert that they don't know how to live free. They've been slaves so long. They've had people telling them what to do for so many years that they've forgotten how to make decisions for themselves. They don't know how to get along with one another. They don't know how to make good decisions. They don't know how to act and be holy and to do God's will in their lives because they've never had the freedom to do that before. And so it's not long at all after they escape the clutches of Pharaoh that they're at each other's hands, that they're at each other's throats, that they're fighting with one another and they're falling into all kinds of sins, including idolatry. And so, excuse me, and so Moses has to come up with a way to teach these people how to behave now that they're free. It's kind of like a college kid who leaves high school and home for the first time and finds themselves on campus with no parents and no rules. It's like, I can make all the mistakes I want and no one will ever know. Except, of course, the mistakes cost in the long run. But anyway, getting back to Moses. So he goes up onto Mount Sinai, and there's wind, and there's fire, and there's explosions, and there's thunder, and in the midst of all of that cloud of noise and godliness, he gets the Ten Commandments, and comes down the mountain and hands the Ten Commandments to the people of God. And he says, Here are the commandments we need to live by if we're going to survive this desert and make it to the promised land. This is how we can really be free. This is how we can really be holy. This is how we can really be God's people, by following these Ten Commandments. And of course, all of you know the Ten Commandments, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's easy. There they are. So easy. The first three tell the people how they're to relate to God. And the second set of seven tell them how to relate to one another. Don't kill one another. Just don't do it. Don't go there. Don't cheat on your wives and your husbands. Don't go there. Honor your mom and dad. Do that. You know, it's the least you can do. All these simple things that will help them become the people God wants them to be and really be a free, free people, free at last. And that, according to Jewish tradition, happened 50 days after the Exodus, after they got out of Egypt. That's when Moses got his commandments, and that day was called Shavuot, which translated into Greek becomes Pentecost, and that's the feast that they handed on to us. Anyway, if we're going to understand our Pentecost, our Christian Pentecost, we have to understand what those two feasts meant. First of all, the Passover, the Exodus, God made these people a people. He created them anew. Once they had been slaves, they had just been little tribes and families, sort of with a common language, but nothing more. They didn't have any great experience of God yet. They weren't a people yet. But when they left Egypt and they went out into that desert under Moses' leadership, God made them a people. And they were formed into a people that could resist the world. They would be able to stand on their own two feet. They would have their own identity, their own language, their own spirit. They would be dedicated to God, and any other nation that came after them, they would be able to defend themselves. It's a wonderful thing, this new birth to freedom and life that they received in Exodus. And then in the commandments, they receive the rule book they need from outside, given to them by God, to live that vocation, to live their nationhood, to live their relationship with God and one another. It's a great thing. And then a couple thousand years later, we have Jesus celebrating Passover, celebrating this great victory, this thing that made them a new people, this freedom from slavery. And he makes it a new Passover in his death and his resurrection. He leads his people to a new kind of freedom. On that glorious morning when the tomb is empty, these people become people who are filled with God's grace. They understand for the first time that life is bigger than death, that love is greater than hate, that forgiveness can heal all kinds of evil. It's a new life, a new way. They become a new people themselves. And then 50 days later, instead of receiving commandments from above, we have, like that mountaintop with Moses, we have wind and we have fire. And there's no mention of smoke, but if there's fire, there must be smoke too. And they are filled with something new. Their eyes are opened. Their ears are opened. Even more, their hearts are opened to the glory and the grace and the love and the very spirit of the risen Christ like they've never experienced it before. And what's the difference between this new Pentecost and the Pentecost of old? In the old Pentecost, two things happened. Commandments were given them, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And they're imposed upon them from the outside. And they have to live those commandments if they're going to be God's people. And they become God's people. But they become God's people unto themselves. They become a people, a nation, like other nations, except that they have God on their side. But they are a people who do not go out into the world. They tug tightly together to preserve themselves from the dangers of this world. And what happens at the Christian Pentecost is really quite different. Instead of laws being imposed from above, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that, they have a new kind of law. Not a law at all, but a grace, a life, a spirit that fills them from the inside out. It's not imposed upon them from above. It grows within them from inside and flowers and blossoms like something they've never experienced before. The very Spirit of Christ, the very Spirit of God, alive in them from the inside out. Suddenly their faith, their religion, their experience of God is not something they learn from the outside. It's something they experience from the inside in a powerful way that changes them forever. And the second thing that happens at this new Pentecost is that instead of gathering together and huddling together as a people, as a church, as sort of us against the world, that spirit which they've experienced sends them out into the world without fear to every nation, to every people. Doesn't matter if we're going to be persecuted or not. We go forward. We go out. The world is waiting for us. The world is waiting for Christ the risen one. The world is waiting for the healing grace of Jesus Christ. So get out there and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what those disciples do. They go and proclaim the good news, and everyone understands them in their own language. It doesn't matter where they come from or where they're going. And this Pentecost, this new Pentecost, is not something which happens only 50 days after the resurrection. It continues to happen over and over again in every time, in every season, in every place. Sometimes in big ways, like on Mount Sinai or like in Jerusalem, with fire and smoke and voices of God. That's what took Paul down on the road to Damascus. He hears this voice, he sees light, he cannot stand. He's blown over by the Spirit, and his life is changed forever. And Saul becomes Paul. More in our own times is what happens when Mother Teresa suddenly hears the call to leave behind her little community of sisters in Armenia and start out on her own to take care of the poorest of the poor. That Spirit speaks to her and changes her, and she becomes Mother Teresa. She does so much good. She rocks the world with her love. Probably to their surprise, it's what moved the cardinals of the church a few years ago to elect this little cardinal from Argentina. And he's sad and he's kind of sullen and he's ready to retire. And all of a sudden he becomes Pope Francis, to the great surprise of the cardinals, who weren't expecting that at all. But it also happens, this Pentecost thing, in all kinds of small ways that don't really rock the whole world. But they move us, and they touch us. It's not big flames and fire and smoke and clouds and voices booming. It's more like that gentle breeze that touches Elijah's cheek. You know, when he experiences God so quietly, so lovely, so gently. That's what happens to us so often. You know, a mother's got her colicky two-year-old or one-year-old, and it's day after day after day of putting up with this baby. Impossible to be patient with this. And yet realizes that she loves this colicky baby even with all the trouble he's causing her with all her heart, all her mind, and all her soul. That's the Holy Spirit at work. That's Pentecost. Where it's that father dealing with his 17-year-old and you want to knock his block off for the latest stupid thing he's done. Grow up finally. Would you please grow up? Instead of knocking his block off, he takes a good look at him eye to eye. Then he just has to hug him. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost in small ways. It's whenever we love, whenever we care, whenever we defend somebody who's being picked on, whenever we don't laugh at a stupid racist joke, whenever we give Jesus to someone who's desperate for hope in their lives. It's when that person says, I don't have God anymore, I've lost God. I've never experienced God's love since I've been a little kid. You say, well, let me love you then. Can I hold your hand? That's the Holy Spirit, that's Pentecost. Sometimes big, sometimes rocks the world, sometimes blows people away. St. Paul, Mother Teresa, Pope Francis. But more often than not, it's just us in our day-to-day lives doing the small things that Christ would have us do, sharing his Spirit, his love, his compassion, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, so that this world, our friends, our families, our hearts might know anew the Holy Spirit of the risen Christ and share that Spirit with all who are in need, all who live without hope, all who live without spirit and life, all who need sometimes just a little bit of love in their lives. So Pentecost can be big, but Pentecost more often is small and quiet and gentle. And that is what really changes our world.